This is a replay of the Thursday night, January 5th WGN show. We started at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and I know you've been waiting for this because you're lining up already. So Stacey, Eduardo, Valerie, hang on. We will get to you before the hour is out. Well, maybe. But I'm going to hog Julie Ryan for a while because I got a lot of questions. And by the way, if you followed my advice, you've already found her online. In fact, she just finished a podcast live moments ago. And if you didn't hear it online, if for some reason you're not online, but you are in Chicago, hey, WCGO 7 to 8, that's 1590 AM. Okay, so with that in mind, I don't think there's a problem saying that. Well, I hope not anyway. Julie, welcome to WGN Radio.
Thanks, Raleigh. What a treat to be with you. Happy New Year.
You too. You too. I don't know where you get the energy. You just finished doing your own show. Thank you for this.
Oh, my pleasure.
So, as I said, I've got questions. Because last time I showed you off, and people are still talking about it, and of course they're lining up. But what fascinates me most, although it's hard to pick one aspect of you, but is that you came into, as you say, the woo-woo, psychic phenomena, later in life. You didn't grow up feeling that you had a great deal of intuition or whatever. So, given that you are awfully accomplished, and in fact, your devices are patented and still in surgeries to this day. What on earth caused you to say, and I think I'll become a psychic?
Well, it didn't quite happen like that. You're right. I laugh. I say I didn't have dead people chasing me as a child, or if I did, I didn't know it, let alone what I would have done with that information. But I was given a book called Anatomy of the Spirit from a friend for my birthday one year, about 30 years ago, and I read it, and this woman called herself a medical intuitive. And I thought, what the heck is that? I'd never heard that term before. And I was, to your point earlier, I am an inventor of surgical devices sold throughout the world, and I was in the hospital supply industry for 30 years. Yeah. And so I wanted to know more. And back then, we didn't have the internet yet.
Right.
So I did the old-fashioned thing, Raleigh, and I went to a bookstore. I went to a Barnes & Noble and found a book by a former NASA physicist named Barbara Brennan. The book's called Hands of Light. And she took very complex quantum physics concepts and parlayed them into understandable English for the non-scientific mind. That would be me. And I learned through her that it was possible to facilitate energetic healings that were complementary to Eastern and Western medicine as we know it. And that's what I learned how to do, and that's what I teach people how to do now. So it's all part of the healing equation in my book.
When you got, and I know anatomy, that's Carolyn Mice, who's a Chicagoan,
right.
Actually.
That's right.
When you picked up that book, and of course, you know, here you are, you're interested in reading, who isn't? I'm sure it still hadn't occurred to you that maybe I'm going to put this to use. At what point did you say, hey, there's something in this that I can actually do?
Well, I studied this modality by this former NASA physicist. I studied it for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
I paid the equivalent of what I would have paid to get an MD or a PhD.
I'm sure.
And even then, people were saying to me, what are you going to do with this? Why are you doing this? I said, I don't know. I have no idea.
Right.
And fast forward, I sold my surgical device manufacturing company in 2015. Still have another couple of companies running. And I thought, okay, what am I going to do now? And I was led to do this. I don't have a plan. People say to me, what are your goals? I said, I don't know, I don't have any.
No,
I just
you
go where I'm
any.
Led.
Yeah.
And it's developed into where it is now, and it keeps expanding. It's been really a fun journey and continues to be.
I know you teach this as well, and at AskJulieRyan.com, people can see. In fact, I think you've got a course that's open now for registration. But I think the hardest thing for anybody who didn't see dead people when they were children, who didn't have any, as far as they knew, innate talent, is believing what you get. When you start to investigate this and you start to do some of the experiments and all that, at what point do you throw, you know, doubt out the window and say, hey, there's something to this?
Well, I think we all utilize intuitive abilities. We all come in with them. Everybody's born with them. And we've all had situations where we think of somebody and we either run into them or we get a text or an email or a phone call from them and we say, oh my gosh, what a coincidence. Well, there's no coincidence. That is intuitive abilities. And then when we learn some different techniques and learn how to raise our vibrational level and get information that helps validate it, it helps us trust it. I don't know that anybody 100% of the time, Raleigh, and I've done this with tens of thousands of people over the years, especially since I've been doing it full time for the past 5 years. There are still times when I get information. May I tell you a quick example?
Yeah.
I was talking to a client in Boston, and her parents had both passed, and she had their ashes. And she said, I don't know what to do with them. Can we ask them what they want us to do with their ashes? And so we got her parents on the line and her deceased parents, and they said they wanted them scattered in Yosemite National Park. And I thought, that doesn't make any sense. This girl lives in Boston. So I don't edit anything I get. So I said to her, your parents want their ashes scattered at Yosemite. And she gasped, and I said, what? And she said, that's where they were married.
Whoa.
I said, okay. I mean, I have endless stories like that. I had a gal yesterday who lost her dad a few months ago, and she said, can he send me a sign? And his spirit said, yeah, whenever she sees a toad, that's coming from him. And she said, toads? I said, no, toads, like baby frogs. She started laughing. And I said, what? And she said, when he died, there was a toad stuck to my front door.
Whoa.
And he wouldn't leave for the longest time. And I said, well, that was a sign from your dad. You just didn't know it yet. I have endless stories like that.
Yeah. Which is great. And of course, over time, I can see you become even more confident in what you're getting. But it's still, for most of us, I think that's the hardest thing to say, hey, I really can connect. Because of course, we're kind of taught societally that, you know, you leave the dead alone and you can't do this. And so the idea that here you are from Columbus, Ohio, you know, go to the Ohio State University and all this, and next thing you know, you're a psychic. How'd your relatives take that?
Well, they thought I was nuts. they kept saying, why are you doing this? And I said, I don't know. It's just interesting to me. And my older brother gave me the most grief, Raleigh. And then one day, I got a phone call from him one evening, and he said his best friend had a stroke and was in surgery. They were removing part of his skull because his brain was so swelling so badly. They were trying to make room for it. And he said, do your thing.
Uh-huh.
I said, okay. And so I communicated telepathically with his friend, Tim is his name, and I didn't think he'd make it out of the operating room based on what I was seeing. the phases of transition, and we can talk about that in a minute.
Yeah.
He gave me information to give to his father, to Tim's dad, who was in the waiting room with my brother. So my brother gave him the information that his dad turned ashen, and he said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "There's no way you would have known that, because that was only Tim and I knew this information. They're working on some big deal." And so that helped him know that, okay, there's more to the story than meets the eye here.
Great, great story. There's another thing about timing that I find, especially with regard to the medical intuition, because right now it seems that allopathic medicine is kind of at an all-time low. Maybe doctors have a handle on what are the well-defined things, but so many ailments are elusive, and people are not getting diagnoses. And I assume that a lot of the people who are contacting you are contacting you as much for clarity as healing. Like, what's wrong with me?
Oh, absolutely. Several people a week that I talk to, I would say a huge percentage of them have been to multiple doctors and gotten multiple diagnoses, and some have had multiple suggested treatment plans, and they still have the same symptoms.
Yeah.
And Lyme is a great example. Lyme, a huge percentage of the time, Raleigh, is misdiagnosed mold exposure. Huge percentage, like 90-some%. And it presents like Lyme,
right.
And then they go on a whole bunch of antibiotics, and it makes the mold exposure even worse.
Exactly.
So I can get somebody on my radar, and I'm like a human MRI. I can see what's going on, and then help facilitate healing.
Which is just terrific. And you mentioned the Lyme thing. That happened to me about over 20 years ago. I was living in a house with toxic mold, didn't know it, and it was, I stopped walking. It was a year before they figured out it wasn't lupus, it wasn't Lyme, and on. Nobody thinks in terms of toxic mold, but it's increasingly a problem. So that's terrific. We're talking to Julie Ryan, and I'd give you the phone number, except, and I will take your calls, but right now every line on this place is lit. So you can go to AskJulieRyan.com at any time, and of course you can hear the podcast, and you can even hear the past podcasts, as well as on our YouTube channel. I've got all those links on Raleigh.net, Rolly.net. So 888, I am giving the phone number, it's habit, 888-876-5593, but don't call now. However, hopefully before the end of the hour, or if not, we'll impress on Julie for the need to come back right here on WGN Radio.
You know it's hard to love another man's girlfriend. You can't see her when you want to. You got to see her when you can. You may be fighting a losing battle, but you'll have so much fun. Yes, you will, trying to win. I thought it over about what I should do, and I found out a one-way love affair ain't no good for two.
It's a soap opera and a song. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Johnny Adams. It was his first chart record, Losing Battle, 1962 on Rick. Got to number 27 on the R&B charts. Rick, of course, a Detroit label. Not sure how that came about, because Johnny was certainly a product of New Orleans. In fact, Dr. John, the Night Tripper, Mac Rebenack, wrote that. And since then, of course, many, many wonderful hits, but no longer with us. Died in 98 in Baton Rouge, 66 years old. So, yeah, my favorite, of course, I Won't Cry. Yeah, we usually play that every year on his birthday, but I figured I'd try Losing Battle today. We're talking to Julie Ryan, AskJulieRyan.com. Check it out if you haven't. And this woman knows all, and certainly can see all. And before I get to that, I have to ask.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, you get a glimpse of all anyway. I have to ask, since you do have formidable psychic skills, here we are in the brand new year. Not to make it a political show, but what's coming up this year?
Oh, I think that we are creating. I think that's why we all incarnate, is to create. And there's lots of things to create. We create all day, every day. And when we know what we don't want, it helps us create what we do want. And so lots of creations are happening. People say, oh, we've never been more divided in this country before. And I'd like to say, have you ever heard of the Civil War? I think we just get inundated 24/7 with all kinds of political stuff and other stuff, and we think it's worse than it's ever been, but it's not. It's just back then they didn't have the technology that we have, so they weren't hearing about it 24/7.
Yeah, yeah. It's interesting that you say create, of course, because at the heart, when we get back to medical intuition, of all of what ails us, on some level, we're creating it. And that's a dangerous thing to say, because I think some people think that that means if they think differently, it will be differently, or somehow they're to blame. But on some level, and I get this a lot from your show, everything we manifest, we're aware on a soul level of what's going on.
Exactly. And if you think about it, our thoughts create our reality. If you think something, all thoughts have an energy frequency to them, Raleigh. So it's like we're on that radio station of those thoughts coming in, and then more thoughts come in, and then you resonate with that, and that's the frequency that you attract. But the body's going to follow what the brain shows it, even if the brain doesn't believe it to be true. And an example of that is, think of a time when you watched a scary movie on TV. Well, your brain knew it was pretend, but your heart might have felt like it was getting ready to jump out of your chest because it was just so darn scary.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a great example of what happens. And I'm interested in you saying that you couldn't walk for a year because you were living in a toxic, mold-filled home.
Yeah. Yeah, I stopped walking.
Wow.
And it was one of those things where, you know, I was there about 3 months when I started to have problems with my knees. And, of course, John said, oh, you're a drama queen. And I said, yeah, but what started to happen is I lost the ability to transfer. And you know what I mean. If you're lying down, you can't get up on your own. If you're sitting down, you can't get out of the chair on your own. Somebody has to lift you. And
wow.
So, yeah, it was at that point. And, of course, I've always been the autoimmune queen, so all the doctors wanted to immediately blame every autoimmune, things I'd never heard of before, and I thought I heard them all. And then, unfortunately, someone was convinced it was Lyme. And you talk about those antibiotics because, of course, that completely threw off my system. I always had an issue with candida before. Well, now I was the fertilizer for it. And, of course, you'd bring this up to doctors. Oh, that's nothing, you know, is the answer. And finally, what had happened that gave us a clue is we went away. And we were in Toronto, actually. And within a week, I started to have some mobility. And John noticed that, and he said, hey, you know, you moved, basically. You did something. And got back, and unfortunately couldn't leave for a couple of months because I did the show from this location, so I was stuck. When I got back, within 2 days, I was just terrible again. And then when we finally left, it took me 6 months of physical therapy.
Wow.
So, and that was toxic mold. And, you know, I should have been aware, and that's to anybody who's encountered this. You know, I moved a mirror from the wall in this house, and it looked like just a sheet of black velvet behind it. And so, of course, I don't have a mask, but I've got a bottle of Clorox. And, of course, I wiped this whole thing down, breathing every spore in the world in there. And I had spore diseases from a previous disaster. And so it didn't occur to me that that was it. But increasingly, people face toxins.
Well, a couple of points on the mold. First of all, Clorox is not good to use on mold because it's mostly water.
Right.
And when you use it on a porous surface like drywall, it just makes the mold worse. You're better off using hydrogen peroxide. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, only 30% of the population, and I'm one of them like you, we're like canaries in the coal mine for mold. I can walk in a room, and in a nanosecond, I can tell you if there's a mold issue there. And my husband's oblivious, as John was, too. He wasn't affected.
Right.
So it's very common for multiple people to live in a home, and only one is affected, and the others are saying, well, I'm not smelling anything. I'm not having any symptoms.
Right.
Well, that doesn't mean it isn't there. It just means you're not super sensitive to it.
Exactly. And that's exactly where we're going to pick it up, because I think we're talking about something that affects more people than you might realize. And these are all the things, the elusive things where you say, I don't know why I'm hurting. And I will take some calls, I promise. I won't hog Julie all night. But if you haven't, go to askjulie.com and listen to some of the podcasts. I mean, after we're done with this show, of course. All that and more coming up, but we're going to check out what's going on in the world at large from the WGN Radio Newsroom on WGN Radio.
We fell in love, high school sweetheart. Love was so brand new. We took the vows of man and wife, forever for life. I remember how we made our way, a little patience, the time we prayed. Can't imagine that this love is through. Feeling the pain, boy, when you lose, because it's too hot.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Cool in the Gang, Too Hot, 1980. Delight, number 3 on the R&B charts, 5 on the pop charts, and right after number 1, Ladies' Nights. And George Brown, the drummer for Cool, turned 74 today, born in Jersey City in 49. He's not only still with us, he's still performing. Cool in the Gang will be in Tulsa on February 3rd, Austin the following day. So we're talking to Julie Ryan, askjulieryan.com. And so many things, but I just feel I can feel it in my bones, Julie, that people are saying to me, come on, we got questions. Are you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So we'll kick it off with Stacy in Algonquin. All right, Stacy.
Hi, Raleigh. Hi, Julie.
So hi, Stacy.
What's
hi.
Up?
Well, I was wondering, I have diabetes, and I have, like, you know, for my parents, arthritis, bursitis. And I just want to know, I know the last doctor visit, he said, you know, like I was better and everything. I just want to know if you could see anything else that I should. I mean, I just lost my husband 11 months ago, and I've been, you know, walking around and everything. But I just want to know if you can see anything else that's going on.
Sure, absolutely. So how this works, Stacy, is I raise my vibrational level to the level of spirit. I'm going to watch a laser beam come from my body. It's going to hook into yours. I'm in Birmingham, Alabama. So southeast, sweet, you know, deep south here. And then it'll be like I have a hologram of you in my mind's eye. I'm a sheet energy through you. Something's going to be identified, and then there'll be some type of a healing that will happen. So here we go. Comes my laser beam from Sweet Home, Alabama, heading up to you. Okay, got you. Shooting energy from your feet up through the top of your head. I can tell you have diabetes because you know that candy that has sugar coating on it, like those fruit slices that have sugar on them, or a sugared berry or something you'll see at the holidays.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what's going on there. Are you a type 2 diabetic? Are you on some medicine for that? Are you on insulin? What are you doing?
I take insulin.
Okay, you do. All right. So you're type 2?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So a couple of books. What I'm doing is I'm working on your pancreas right now while I'm watching a healing in my head. I'm getting what I call divine downloads, and I'm talking with you. So good thing we're girls because we can multitask. It's one of our superpowers as females. And so I'm doing that. A couple of books for you to check out. First one is called Why We Get Sick, Stacy, by a guy named Ben Bickman. He's a research scientist at Brigham Young in Utah, and he talks about it's not our blood sugar levels, it's our insulin levels, and how the docs are checking the wrong thing.
Okay.
So you want to check that out. The arthritis, the diabetes, all that stuff is all coming from the gut, has to do with diet. You can reverse all of this by changing your diet, tweaking it a little bit. And if if you send me a note, go to my website, AskJulieRyan.com, go to the Ask Julie page, and say, hey, I talked to you on Raleigh's show last night. I'd like a link to the gut biome test. And it's a poop test that you do at home. You don't need a doctor's orders. And it's going to tell you what are going to be the best foods for you to eat based on your gut biome, just the ecosystem in your gut. And a lot of the time we eat foods that we think are healthy, but they're just not healthy for us right now.
Oh.
So that would be option number one. Option number two, the second thing for you to check out is when you're eating your food, be cognizant of the sequence that you're eating. You want to eat vegetables first because it adds fiber to your GI tract, kind of like a netting. And then you want to eat protein and fat because then that coats the fiber. And then eat any carbs last because you're going to have less of an insulin spike.
Okay.
And so another book for you to check out is called Glucose Revolution.
All right.
Glucose Revolution. And so do your best to stay low on the food chain. Anything that's processed, you want to try and avoid as much as you can. And that's the arthritis is primarily coming from your gut. Most people think that it's just in the joints and it's hereditary. It's not. It's behavioral.
All right.
So if you can get your gut healthy, that will help.
Excellent, Stacy. Keep me posted. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, that's it's fascinating how much control we have, but when you start telling people to change their diet, you get a lot of resistance to say the least. But I'm going to put links on Raleigh.net to all you've mentioned here, including the books, because I think it is important. All right, so what do we have with, let's see, Eduardo in Midway. So Eduardo, welcome back to WGN Radio. Eduardo, did you give up on us already? Mm-mm-mm. I guess so. All right, Valerie in Warrensville. Welcome, Valerie.
Hello, Raleigh. Hello. Oh, man, there goes again. Hello, my dear. How are you doing?
Don't worry about us. Let's talk about you. What's your question?
Well, we're going to go take a left turn, because it's me, and talk about past lives.
Oh.
Ooh, fun.
All right. So what in particular do you want to know about your past lives?
How many does she think I have, and what's pertinent to this lifetime?
1,217, I get, you've lived. And do you have a question in particular about past lives? Because we're not going to live long enough to discuss all your past lives.
Right. Yeah, well, 1,217, you betcha. So, yeah, is there anything
what
that you fight now?
What is most important about karma dealing in this life with past lives?
It's still pretty general.
It's interesting you bring that up.
Pertinent lesson,
Valerie, is karma is not anything that's a punishment. And that's how it's been portrayed a lot of the time. Karma is, we're just exploring a script through multiple lifetimes, looking at it from a different perspective, different time, different gender, different location, different set of circumstances, same semblance of a script. And each time we explore an experience that our spirit expands. And so it's a lot of people say, well, I had somebody call into my show tonight and say, well, you know, do I have this karma if somebody commits suicide in this lifetime? Are they going to get it triple whammy the next lifetime? And that's not how it works. It's just exploring something that's a similar script.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess, Valerie, if you don't have a specific issue, probably takes too long to kind of ferret through everything. So if there's something where you're saying, hey, I keep running into this, well, then that's a clue. So if you're not...
The star-crossed...
Star-crossed
ex-fiance.
What?
Ex-fiancé.
Oh, ex-fiancé.
I've got a star-crossed ex-fiancé in this life. Is there ever going to be a resolve for that, or is that just going to keep on rolling?
I get that you've been in 712 lifetimes with that ex-fiancé in different roles.
Oh, my God.
Parents, siblings, children, whatever. And mm-hmm. and when you get to heaven, you guys are going to laugh and you're going to go, oh, you played such a good role. You were such a bad guy. You did a great job. You deserve an Academy Award. And you're going to laugh.
Wow.
Because we're all playing a role. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. great. All right. Well, keep it in mind, Valerie. Stay off the stage. Appreciate it. All right.
I don't have to. I'm already on the stage, dear.
Well, you might want to retire that. So, in any event, Julie, one of the things that I keep coming back to, and maybe you've found a way to understand this on the earth plane, is that time is not linear on the other side. In fact, that there is no sense of time, that everything is happening simultaneously, so to speak. So of these 1,217 lives that Valerie lived, is she experiencing them all at once on the other side?
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes my head want to explode, probably, when we think, okay, we're living all these lives concurrently. The only analogy that I've come up with so far, and I heard this from somebody else, was if you think about when we look at a star, and the astronomers will say, okay, that's like 100 million light years away.
Mm-hmm.
You think about over those 100 million years, that light was visible. And it's all concurrent. That's the closest thing that I've heard that I can get to with the concept of living all these lifetimes at the same time. The other interesting point to that is that we can go in the future, but future events are fluid because there are a bazillion variables that can come in to affect an outcome. So we can give you, okay, here's what we're getting right now, maybe different tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. But things that are happening right now and things that have happened in the past, we can go access them at any given moment. And so that also plays in with lots of lifetimes happening at the same time. But past lives are really fun because oftentimes we can get historical information that we can validate with documentation, either online or, you know, in archives somewhere.
Yeah, that is my favorite part. You know, kids who are recalling past lives, and then you look up the addresses or the places, and it's just as the three-year-old is saying, and it's always fascinating. But yes, when we look at the future now, I don't care who the psychic is, you're looking at a line extension, and it is fluid, so that may or may not occur, depending on a lot of different variables. So I get that, but you mentioned the star analogy, and I tend to agree wholeheartedly, because when we hear about, you know, aliens and people from other planets, and I think that the distance and the time it would take, I say to myself, well, they're not going the long way, because they'd still be going, you know, lifetimes later. So there's got to be something about bending time as we know it that some people have figured out.
Well, wormholes are a real thing. Mm-hmm. Astronomers talk about wormholes.
Right.
And when somebody is dying, I'll do this exercise with them, and so are my graduates of my classes, and we call it the walk to heaven. And we go through this dress rehearsal of what's going to happen when the body and the spirit separate, and we go through a wormhole to get to heaven. It's pretty interesting.
Oh, wow.
So I know there is some kind of a time travel thing where we do go through no linear time to get to heaven. It's really fascinating.
Oh, it is. And we're going to talk about the stages of death as well coming up. And yes, I haven't forgotten you, Leah or Stephanie or Ruth. And so hopefully the hour won't end too soon. But in the meantime, I'm not even going to give the phone number out. All right. Because I think that'll wrap it up. But you can go to AskJulieRyan.com and you can listen to the past shows and you can actually sign up for a reading. But be patient, because it's usually months out. Although there are cancellations from time to time, and you can maybe zoom in there and get one of those. So, there I am. I tell you, Pavlov's dogs and me have a lot in common, so we'll pick it up there on WGN Radio.
Don't be sore at me. Love's entitled to one mistake. Much good.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Yes, and that, of course, the Parliaments, plural. Don't Be Sore at Me, 1967 on Revelet. Has to be the best lyric in R&B music history. And my anger clouded my judgment, and I saw a red flash. Then my mouth wrote a check that my heart couldn't cash. Yes! Well, Grady Thomas from the Parliaments, and of course they later did become Parliament and Funkadelic, is celebrating a birthday, and he's still with us. Turns 82 years old today. Born in Newark in 1941. Sadly, founding members Ray Davis and Calvin Simons are no longer with us. But as far as George Clinton, well, you know that he's around. And so is Fuzzy Haskins, but he doesn't perform anymore. We're talking to Julie Ryan, askjulieryan.com. Check it out. You can hear all the podcasts. And I got a lot of people hanging on. But, of course, I'm debating whether we should go through the stages of death or save that for next time. What's your pleasure, Julie?
Well, I think we can start talking about it now and then maybe expand on it next time.
Okay.
Would be my preference. The 12 phases of transition, Raleigh, are a sequence of events that we all go through as we're dying, and we're surrounded by angels and the spirits of deceased loved ones and pets, and we start off with our spirit exiting our body through the top of the head, and it hangs on to the top of the head, looks like a cartoon caption bubble. Mm-hmm. And then the deceased parents come in. If they're still alive, the person who's dying, if their parents are still alive, it will be the deceased grandparents on the maternal side. It's always on the maternal side, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
And then the mom runs the show from the spirit world, the mother of the maternal spirit. Again, always on the maternal side. And they call in the angels, and she calls in the deceased loved ones and the spirits of deceased pets. It's fascinating to watch. I can scan somebody anywhere in the world who people think they might be dying, and I can tell you what phase of transition they're in. And that gives us clues as far as timing goes to help people be there if they want to be there, their loved ones.
Now, is this a thing where these stages don't vary? The particulars will, such as who the players are, but as far as the sequence and what happens, that this is an absolute for all of us?
It is an absolute, yes. And there are times when people can go back and forth in the phases. For instance, I had a woman call my show this evening, and her grandson is in the hospital on the other side of the country, and 17, drug overdose.
Ugh.
And he was in phase 7 of 12. Well, that's not what she wanted to hear.
Of course
but
not.
This child had a pretty severe drug addiction, and obviously a very severe drug addiction. And I said to her, I don't edit anything I get, because I believe it's spirit working through me and with me, and who am I to decide what you need to hear? Everything's healable. So I told her, it just because he's in phase 7 doesn't mean he's going to pass. He can go further. He can progress. He can come completely out of it. Like I used the example of my brother and his friend, Tim. He had a stroke. I didn't think he'd make it out of the operating room. 15 years later, he's just fine. He's up moving around.
That's great.
For 15 years. Yeah. So it just gives us some help to be able to help with the family, you know, to give them some clarity and some direction. I always ask somebody when they're dying, I ask their spirit, even if they can't communicate verbally anymore, I always ask them telepathically, are you ready to go? Mm-hmm. Are you in pain? What do you need? And I'll get just this whole plethora of answers.
Wow.
And can get people their wishes. Do I have time for a quick story?
Absolutely.
I was working with a woman whose husband was dying in Athens, Greece, and I was in Alabama and at my home here in Birmingham. And I was working with this woman, and her husband had been comatose for a while, and he was on death's doorknob, knocking on death's door. And I asked him, what do you need? And he said, I need to talk to my sister, or I need to see my sister, is what he said. And so I told her this, and I said, "If can you bring his sister over? Has he seen his sister?" And she said, "No, she lives in Australia." Oh. And I said, "Well, get her on the Zoom or FaceTime or something." And they did. And then he passed shortly thereafter. So being able to facilitate people's last requests is really something quite profound, I find, and humbling at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. Those kind of stories are just downright chilling in the positive sense. All right, I got a minute left, and I defer to first-time caller, so I know Leah and Stephanie and Ruth are going to beat up on me later. But Kathy gets the minute, so sorry to be this quick, Kathy, but go for it.
Hello. Really quickly, I have a terminal condition, and I also care for a 90-year-old mother. My concern is whether or not I'll be able to continue caring for her until her death, or do I have to start making arrangements for her care if I pass first?
Whoa,
I guess it's in your best interest, Kathy, to start making arrangements for her care. Whether you pass first or not, I'm getting that it's going to be in your best interest and her best interest to do that.
Okay. She's still living on her own, cooking for herself. She's blessed. But, I
would agree, by the way, with Julie, Kathy, not from a psychic perspective, but just a real-world perspective, that if you know you've got the ducks in a row and there is someone there in the event, that's going to be a weight off your shoulders, so you won't worry about it.
Very true.
All right. Good luck to you. Thank you, Kathy.
Go ahead, Julie.
One other quick thing, too, Kathy. If anybody listening that would like a free digital and audiobook download of my book, and Kathy, I believe it will help you. Just go to AskJulieRyan.com, click on the Ask Julie button, say, "Hey, I heard you on Raleigh's show. I'd love a copy of your book," and we'll send it to you for free as a gift.
Yeah, so just fill out the form, and I'll have links to it as well. So good deal, Kathy, and hope to talk to you longer next time. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And Julie, I can't thank you enough, and here I am roping you into doing it again. So is it a date?
Absolutely.
All right. Thanks. And Julie Ryan, AskJulieRyan.com. I will have all the links up. And again, apologies to Stephanie, Leah, and Ruth. But, I'll be happy to talk to you. I've got absolutely the psychic ability of a stone. However, we've got 2 hours to spend together, and I think we'll have a good time. Coming up on WGN Radio.
Lady love, your love is peaceful like a summer's breeze. My lady love, with love that's tender as a baby's touch, you give me all of the things that I need so much. You're my world, lady love. Whoa. Lady love, your love is cooling like the winter snow. My lady love, with a love that's cozy as a fire's glow. And I keep on needing you, girl, a little more and more. And I thank
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, that's Lou Rawls. And you know that's for Stacy. Yeah, Lady Love, 1977 on Philadelphia International. Got to number 21 on the R&B charts and 24 on the pop charts. 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. And apologies to Leah. We ran out of time, but next time, I promise, Leah, we will take your call. So how you feeling?
Oh, I'm okay. I was just going to ask her about the hives, you know, that I've had since Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they're just annoying. They're not itchy or anything, but don't know what's causing them still.
It is kind of, I'm glad they're not itchy, because that's just the worst. But it does make you wonder, and usually something, I won't say usually, but it could be something external, some contact thing, and you haven't yet figured out what you're relating to.
Yeah.
It also could be something internal. Did you change anything you're doing with supplements or anything like that?
No, I haven't introduced anything new into my diet except this sweetener that I was using. It's this new sweetener made from monk fruit, and I threw that out right away because it was upsetting my stomach. So,
so you stopped using it.
I stopped using it, and I know it wasn't that.
Right. Yeah, no, I know. I've heard a lot of people trying the monk fruit thing and to varying results. Most people do give it up.
It was delicious. You know, it did sweeten with far less of it than you would use with, like, Sweetenlow or Splenda or anything, you know?
Yeah.
But it comes in a liquid, which is nice. You can just squirt a few drops in, but... You know, my stomach is so, it's where I hold all my emotions, you know.
Don't we all? I really think that the gut is the key to just about everything.
Yeah, some of us don't. I don't know. Albert doesn't.
Well, I find that interesting, especially people who supposedly don't, you know, hold anything in. It's like, well, I wonder what they're not aware of. But then again, I guess if you're not aware, then no foul. But it seems to me like on some level, it gets us.
I don't know. He's just a happy-go-lucky type of person.
That's wonderful.
Know?
That's just terrific.
Yeah. I want to thank you for my prize package.
Oh, you got it.
Got it today.
All right.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Did you get my email at all?
No. Well, of course, today has been one of those days. When did you send it?
Oh, it was from like Tuesday, Monday or Tuesday.
Oh, okay. No, but
I've not gotten it.
I've got an awaiting response pile, so maybe it's in that.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if you named your bear.
Oh, I haven't named my bear, but I'm resting on him as we speak.
Oh, okay. I'd love to have a picture of you resting on him.
Well, you can have a picture of my feet resting on him. I don't know about the rest of me.
Yeah.
All right.
And I'd love to have a picture of John in his new Napa hat.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, I don't know if he'll be willing to do that, but...
Okay.
You know, but I certainly will allow my feet to be photographed, if not the rest of me.
Okay. Yeah, I'd love to see that in his new home, whatever his name is going to be.
Well, yeah.
Is it going to be a boy or a girl?
Well, I'm not 100% sure because after all, I am just lying my feet on him, so I'm not sure about naming him, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, you got to name him.
Got to name him? Okay. Okay.
Him or her?
I think it's a him.
It's a him? Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a him. But I'll work on that. Yes, Leah sent me a wonderful bear footrest. And my foot is resting on it. In fact, both are. My feet are resting on it. So it's very
not
nice.
Not a real bear. It's faux fur.
Yeah, well, obviously. Yes.
Yeah, but we have to let people know that because you're going to get calls, you know?
Oh, just...
What
just,
did Leah do now with her Dremel tool?
Yeah, right, well, yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Man, well, I don't think you've been menacing wildlife.
No. No, I really haven't.
Well, good. Good, good, good.
All right.
Good,
well,
good.
That's all I wanted to
say,
and thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye.
All right. So as of today, all the prizes went out. We did several hundred more today, and they're all now out on the way to you. And, you know, as I say, not worth the postage it takes to get them to you. But you do get a certificate for every win. And John and I were talking earlier. We think we're going to try to do this monthly this year rather than waiting more than a year. So, certainly surprised the post office, to say the least. 888-876-5593. Adele is in Springfield. What's happening, Adele?
Good. How are you, Miss Rowley?
All right. What you got going on?
Nothing. I have a couple of comments, and I wanted to discuss something with you. Well, yesterday's program was really good.
Good.
I wanted to ask Mr. Charles Gracie about him being such, his father being such a pioneer, with rock and roll, one of the early ones, why he thought that he wasn't inducted in the Hall of Fame. As popular as he was...
Because it's political.
The UK ...and the collaboration.
Right. Well, and he is in the UK Hall of Fame, and he is in the Rockabilly Hall of Fame. But, you know, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is very disappointing all the way around. And Jan Wenner from Rolling Stone magazine has a big hand in that. And in terms of reflecting... truly rock and roll, it doesn't. You know, in some ways they're too hip for the room. Like I say, you can't have a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame without including Pat Boone, regardless of whether you like him or hate him, because when those records were out, he was the only way that mass appeal general market kids heard this. You know, and then I always say Neil Sedaka, because Neil Sedaka was one of those wonderful artists of the very late 50s and early 60s who, you know, the guys like the Rolling Stone guy, they would, you know, say that this is formulaic pablum and all that. But those little rock and roll records of the early 60s were just wonderful, the stuff that came out of the Brill Building. And Neil Sedaka certainly had dozens.
It seemed like the really early, early one, like 1952, and with the collaborations. I wouldn't think that anybody from that era, as successful as he was, that didn't make it. Do you know of anybody from that era that didn't make it?
Oh, there are
from the early 1950s.
There are probably many. I have not actually parsed the list in years, but you know, the nice thing is that at this point they have reached out to Charlie Jr. They do want to do an exhibit on Charlie at the hall, and that's terrific. And hopefully, at some point, the nominating committee will realize why it's important, as well as historically important, because of course the reason his career dead ended in the States was he dared to ask for his royalties.
Yeah. I did the math with him when he said 2 cents on a dollar, two and a half, billion, that's $50,000, $25,000.
Yeah.
But he got $50,000, I think he said.
Yeah, well, that was because there was a legal action, you know, as far as that goes. It wasn't voluntarily given.
Well, it was a very interesting conversation. I enjoyed it. Yeah. What participated in my call today was, there was a list that came out. I listened to an Australian radio program. They said the list came out a couple of days ago of the top 200 singers of all time.
Well, now remember, like, this is
Rolling Stone one.
Right, but this is Rolling Stone magazine that put the list together.
Right. So have you gotten a chance to look at it? Because there is a big exclusions. But number one was Aretha Franklin. Did you look at this?
Yeah, no, I am aware. The surprise to me, actually, was Al Green. And not taking anything at all away from Al Green, I was just surprised. Take a look at that list. Let me see if I can pull that list up in order.
Well, surprising to me what I just heard, because I didn't look at the list. Frank Sinatra obviously is in.
Yes.
But Tony Bennett is not.
Well.
And... yeah, which was surprising to me, they said.
I'm seeing now is that horrible pictorial where you have to look at all the pictures. But last night I saw a list, hopefully I can actually just
Neil
get
Diamond
those.
Is not in.
Well, that's good. I wouldn't put him in anything myself. But, check out the full list.
Bob Scheisser, surprisingly, I guess he's in the hundreds.
Yeah,
so I was very surprised at this list.
Check out the full list here. So tell me the full list. Please don't. Oh, yeah, they're doing that where I have to look at pictures. No, I'm not going to look at pictures. Forget about that.
Mm.
There is somewhere online there. And now I'm bound to find it here because there was just a list rather than having to look at every one of the pictures and all that, which I don't want to do. But I'll find it here.
Yeah. By the way, just before I go, in the UK, vinyl records outsold the CDs, and this had not been done since 1986.
Right, that might be
interesting.
That might be the case stateside too. Now, remember though, here's the thing: in 1986, you were talking about physical media exclusively. It was, if it wasn't a CD, it was vinyl. Theoretically, it could have been a cassette. But now, the physical media is not the lion's share. You know, about 80% of all record revenue is coming from streaming. Not even downloads, but streaming. And so, with that in mind, that is a completely different conversation from 1987.
Yeah.
But people are sort of rediscovering vinyl. You know, when I saw the price stickers, I said, oh my good God. And John said, well, you know, if you think about this with inflation, it's really not that much more expensive because, you know, in 1964, maybe it was $2.99. Well, now if it's $29, well, yeah, that's inflation. Motel 6 is $60, you know, so it works out that way.
Well, with the streaming, you know, you pay $10, and you have access to all that.
Well, right, well, yes, but not necessarily in the order you want at the time you want. But yeah, Al Green was number 10, by the way. But I want to see the whole list.
I would love to see a reaction to that because that was amazing.
Considering who put the list together, I'm not the least bit interested. I just have absolutely no respect for Rolling Stone magazine with regard to rock and roll historically. If you're talking about from the advent of album rock to today, I think they've got a good handle on that. But I think that prior to that, they're more likely to go for some gut bucket blues singer who might have influenced some hard rocker than the records that they call pablum. So I just don't have anything positive to say.
Would you put Al Green at that top 10?
No, I love Al Green, but I wouldn't.
No.
You know, and I do. I love Al Green.
Do you know who number 2 or the top 10 is? Do you see the list or no?
Well, I saw that a minute ago. I just zoomed past that because I wasn't terribly interested.
I would love to see who. I mean, I would think Elvis and Frank Sinatra wouldn't be in the top 10.
No, let me see if I can find that list here. I can give you the top 10, but I want to find them all. But here we go. All right. Number 1, Aretha Franklin. Number 2, Whitney Houston. Number 3, Sam Cooke. Billie Holiday. Number 4, Mariah Carey. Number 5, Ray Charles. Number 6, Stevie Wonder. Number 7, Beyoncé. Number 8, Otis Redding. Number 9, and Al Green. Number 10.
Wow.
Yeah,
now, on that list, what do you disagree with?
The other thing is, if you're going to make this kind of a list, before you make the list, you better define what the parameters are. How did you decide? What are you basing it on? Because if it's pure taste, well, then that's one man's opinion, and it may not be the same as any other man's opinion. But if it's not
Elvis and Michael Jackson are not on there.
I gave you the top 10. When they start saying the 200 best singers, I'd like to know who defines best.
Right.
And so there's a lot of people who are very upset about this, but I assume that this is an opinion piece, so to speak. And
they said it was like a rolling staff or rolling.
Yeah, well,
staff.
And so then why would you waste your time even looking at it?
That's kind of something to do.
Well, no, but I mean, there's no credibility to that. I don't respect the people who would be making the decisions. But again, if you're talking about opinions, how dare they come up with that type of a list? Because the reality is the opinion is unique to the individual, and music is as well. The best songs take you where you want to go, but you and I might disagree what song makes the trip possible, and that's the beauty of it. So if you're talking about a compilation with regard to sales, or, you know, as true or not as that might be.
Popularity.
Yeah, right. Or chart action, define it. But to say 200 greatest singers, no. That's their opinion. They can have it.
Yeah, they do that with books. They do that with movies.
Yeah.
And so I think they just did that with
you know what? It's caused us to talk about this, publication that I think is a piece of tripe. And so they've achieved their goals. We're giving them publicity. So enough about that.
Yeah. Last comment. Am I allowed to share my opinion of your last guest or no?
Well, I know you don't believe in any of it, and that's fine. That's why.
Well, no, not that I don't believe in it, but I think it's kind of a scam because I will tell you this. There's a Samantha Stevens from Miami-Dade that must be a really good psychic because she went into this old couple's account, got $4 million over a 5-year period.
Yeah, that may be, but if you understand what Julie did on this show, she offered you something for free. She's not trying to get your money.
No, I understand that.
And so there's no cash involved here, and so very few people offer books for free. And so it's fine if you want to think it's a scam, that's perfectly fine. And that's why your radio has two knobs.
Thank
and
you very much for allowing me to share an opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'll talk to you later. Bye, Adele. All right. So sure. By all means, suspend disbelief and enjoy it or not. I think Julie's the real deal in terms of insight, or I wouldn't have her on. But by all means, not everybody's going to agree with that. And that's fine. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, we'll get to Stephanie and Madison, and there's room for you too on WGN Radio.
Come on.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. I think if I had a top 200 list, the Vibrations would be on it. Scotty requested that. Happy to play it. Love Me Like You Should, 1960 on Checker. Did not chart, but a number of their things did, as you know. So, 888-876-5593. We're going to get to Stephanie in Madison, and we got Stacy in Algonquin and John in Covington. And there's room for you two coming up tonight right here on WGN Radio.
Heaven only knows that I wish I could. Your other love dances and he sings and he swings and he says all the witty little things that a playboy should. Oh, he's got money, he's got charm. When you're walking arm in arm, it hurts me so. But I just want you to know that it's not easy. To wish the best to you, push myself aside. Well, it takes the greatest love that you'll ever find to let you walk away, leaving me behind. And that's the greatest love. Yes, it is.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that's Dorsey Burnett, The Greatest Love, 1969 on Liberty. It was the last chart record he ever had. It got up to about number 67. And Dorsey would have turned 90 last week, died at Canoga Park in 1979, just 46 years old. And The Greatest Love was Joe South, and a number of people did it. Of course, Dorsey charted with it on the pop charts, but several fine versions of that song. So, all right, 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And John is in Covington. Hello, John. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you very much. This is a pleasure. I just got a cute little story, maybe a couple other things, about the RCA Victor label with the dog on it and like the
Nipper.
The bell type. You know what I'm...
I know Nipper was the dog. Yeah, Nipper.
Oh, that's part of the reason I called.
Okay.
Nipper. Now, did he belong to... This is what I've heard. Thomas Edison.
Nope.
Or the head of RCA Victor?
Neither. He was born in Bristol, England, in the 1880s, and there's all sorts of arguments on what breed he was. Probably a mixed breed.
Just a beautiful dog.
Yeah. Well, Francis Baroud did the painting originally in about 1898, and the painting, he titled the painting his master's voice, and it was became a trademark for gramophone use. Originally Berliner Gramophone and all of its affiliates, and then Berliner, their subsidiary was Deutsche Gramophone, and then the American subsidiary was the Victor Talking Machine Company, which of course later becomes RCA and RCA Records and all that kind of stuff. But there's a wonderful anecdote about this dog, and again, the owner was the painter, Mark Baroud. And apparently, 3 years after Nipper died, Francis Baroud and his brother painted a picture of Nipper listening to an Edison Bell cylinder, and thinking that the Edison Bell Company, which was in New Jersey, might find it useful, they offered it to James Ho, who was at the time head of that. And the guy replied, "Dogs don't listen to phonographs." And so a year later, the guy went to the gramophone company to inquire about, actually wanted to borrow a brass horn to brighten up the painting and all that. And when the gramophone founder was shown the painting, he thought this was just terrific. And he said, "Well, replace it with a Berliner gramophone. And if you do, we'll buy it." And so, wanting to sell a photograph, he did, and they did, and that's how it happened. But as far as Edison, no, the Edison company said, "Dogs don't listen to phonographs." So that's Nipper.
When my brother and I were just little kids, I mean very little kids, and my brother got it in his head that if that dog kept going around and around like that, he was going to throw up in the bell of the speaker.
Oh, that's great. That's great. And especially with cylinders, by the way, because that was before they were going around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
One other thing, the movie Going My Way, okay, and they call it, in the movie, they call the song The Mule. It's Swinging on a Star is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I was listening to Dion and the Belmonts through my Echo Dot, and so I'd listen. And I'll be darned if Dion and the Belmonts don't sing that song. And you ought to give it a listen if you ever get a chance.
I have, but the definitive rock and roll version of it is Big D Irwin and Little Eva.
Oh, wow. I have to check that
out. I'll play that as the next bumper. I'm sure it's on this computer. It came out in 1963, and it was huge. You'll like it.
Okay, great. I really appreciate you taking my call. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely. Thanks for calling. And I was just talking to John the other day. You know, the RCA building in Camden, New Jersey, in their tower had Nipper in like a stained glass picture and on all four sides. And one of the sides wound up at Widener University in the Philadelphia area. The other three have no idea what became of them. But yes, Nipper was prominently displayed and beautifully as well. 888-876-5593. We got, let's see, Stacy in Algonquin. What's happening, Stacy?
Oh, hi, Raleigh again.
Yeah.
I want to thank you. I got my present today. I love everything.
Good. Good.
And it's just, I love the bear.
Well, good.
And the CDs. And I want to thank you for the Lou Rawls song.
Absolutely.
And I've got news on Laura from Des Plaines.
Good.
She's way better.
Oh, good. Is she home?
Yes, she sounds great.
Good.
And I loved your show last night. What was Mr. Gacy's first name?
Charlie Gracie.
Charlie Gracie?
Yep, Charlie Gracie.
Oh, that was great. Now, when is the next day that we do, like, the abundance check?
Okay, let's look for the new moons. I haven't done that in a while. I know there's, well, let's see. I've got a law of abundance checkbook right here, and it should have it right in the beginning. January 21st Yeah, the 21st, 4:53 p.m. And we're going to have Mary Ann on the 19th, Thursday the 19th. So I'm sure we'll talk about it before that.
Okay, and then I told you I got my present.
Yeah.
I loved your show.
Good.
I told you about Laura. I got my plumbing all fixed.
Yay.
I had another plumber come out. I belong to another Pivotal Solutions. And I had this young plumber, and he heard there was still water, and he said, "Stacy, I'm going to sign this." He went all over, and he was fixing things, and he said, "You don't even," I told him about the bill, and he said, "They're wrong. You do not use a lot of water. I can even tell now from what I'm checking."
Uh-huh.
He said, "You call them and you tell them you want half of your money back." He said, "And if they're mean to you, you tell them to talk to me." And I said, "I know. I couldn't believe it." He says, "Nope, nope." And then he brought his tools in and he says, "Stacy, do you hear anything?" "Nothing." He fixed whatever water I was hearing. And he said, and then I called the water department,
mm-hmm.
and I talked to this man, and he said, "Just send us an email and see if we can get your other money back for you." So that's what I have to do. That's another good thing.
Good.
I'm trying, you know, every time I talk to you, and I try to remember everything I want to say to you.
Well, good.
President Laura, plumbing. I'm hanging in there.
Good. That's the best part of all.
But I don't know. When I opened my present, oh, my God. You sent me the two CDs, Tony Bennett and Frank Sinatra?
Yep.
I love all of that.
Well, good. Yeah. Well, you got something for each time you won. So that's the deal.
Yeah, and I just hugged the bear.
Well, good.
Oh, my gosh. And, oh, I know. I know there's something else. I asked you about, okay, the singer, okay, loved your show, told you about Laura. And then, you know, the abundance thing, it's really been working, though, like, for me.
Good. Yeah, it's amazing. Absolutely amazing, but it does work. Now, it's not going to make you win the lottery necessarily or anything like that, but just the little things, it does help.
Yeah, and and then I have to thank Tracy and Michelle for helping me in the house and just clearing up. Oh, my goodness. And we've given so many donations, Raleigh.
Good.
Oh, my goodness.
Good.
And what else? I know. What are we? I'm going to forget.
Well, that's all right. You can call back. After all, Mercury is retrograde, so a lot of us are forgetting things.
Oh, God. So thank you for everything. And I want to tell you and John and all the listeners to have a wonderful, wonderful, safe weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
And another happy new year.
All right. Good deal. Well, we'll talk to you soon.
It's better, too.
I do, too. All right. Thanks, Stacy. Appreciate
Molly.
It. Okay, bye. All right,
bye-bye.
So good to hear from Stacy. So 888-876-5593. Yes, you got a certificate for every time you won over the last year, and you got something else. And John raided my Vermont teddy bears. There were four of them, and sent them out. And so, what? Where were my bears? He said, "Well, you don't have anything else to send. They're going." So so they did. So some of you got my bears. All right, well, that's good. 888-876-5593. We got Stephanie and Madison. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Oh, Raleigh, thank you very much. And Stacy just lifted my heart because I'm sitting here kind of just feeling sad, frustrated, kind of angry. But I'm feeling my heart is lightening just hearing Stacy call in. Stacy, thank you. Yeah. And also to all your listeners, you know, you have a community here, like almost like a kind of, you know, family or friends.
Yeah,
you know, like Scotty and and people you start to really connect. And so anyway, I'm kind of following Stacy here. I'm like, okay, all right, first of all, I want to make a request for music. Wade Flemons, I want to hear Here I Stand.
Oh, nice choice.
I love that song. I do. I really love
it. I like everything he does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And want to thank you all. I really think Julie Ryan is, I think she's awesome. I think she's a real deal.
Yeah.
You know, I just,
yeah.
I loved hearing her talk. Because I wanted to maybe try to connect with her, but you know, the time, I'm not a fatalist, but you know, if it's, maybe it just wasn't quite the right time. I'm dealing with a really frustrating issue. You know, a medication that I've been taking like forever is suddenly, if there's a shortage of it, and I called my pharmacy and they're like, well, you know, we don't know when we're going to get. Well, I'm like, oh, great.
Oh,
you know?
I can relate totally. Yes.
Oh my God. I'm like, okay. I was just furious. And one of the, but I've learned you deal with your, just feel your feelings. Don't talk yourself out of them. Don't shame yourself. They pass.
Right.
I've taken mindfulness training and, that helps, but it's like, okay, I'll just take this one step at a time here. But yeah, I'm like, oh man. I told the pharmacist, I said, hey, you're getting ready to close. And I said, I'll let you go. We'll deal with this all tomorrow. I'm just, you know, I have to, you know, take it one step at a time. And I'm going to turn 73 at the end of this month. It's just been one hell of a year. It really has. Oh, God,
well,
Raleigh, I'm not. The last 2022, one of our dearest friends, he's now in memory care. This guy that we would travel every year to Clear Lake with. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm just like, I'm just crushed. I am.
Well, yes, of course. No, and hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay
right
where you are, because actually right now it's time, the time you've been waiting for, I know. It's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Big D Irwin, who used to be lead singer of the Pastels, with Little Eva, Swinging on a Star. Got to number 36, I think it was, or 38, 1963 on Dimension. All right, so that's the deal for the definitive rock and roll version of Swinging on a Star. All right, 888-876-5593, and we're talking to Stephanie in Madison. Carry on.
I will carry on. Hey, yeah, I really wanted to thank you. Oh, the whole show with Charlie Gracie Jr. Oh, that was wonderful. We saw Charlie Gracie in Clear Lake, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Cannot remember what year, but it was when I could still really see, because I remember, even though it was a little flip cell phone, I was taking pictures of him. He was on the stage in this really pretty blue suit, and he just... Most wonderful performer, you know, just singing,
yeah.
and then also, of course, playing. He plays guitar boogie.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the things he'll play in his shows. And my husband saw him at one of the Rockabilly Fests in Green Bay. I thought, Casino, Oneida Casino in Green Bay. I didn't see him then, but I was just an absolutely fantastic show. He did so much great music, and my hubby's going to do, not this Saturday, but the Saturday afterwards, it'll be the 14th, he's going to do a special on Charlie Gracie on his show.
So. Oh, good. Well, give it a plug. Where can it be heard?
Oh, yeah. Yep. On WORT-FM, Madison, Wisconsin, 89.9 FM. Yeah, I'm feeling better already. I'm just, you know, but, good. Oh, God, yeah. It has, my husband is going to go to Clear Lake this year. Last year, I didn't want to go because I didn't want to catch COVID, and people were, you know, we're still really dealing with the masks and stuff, and now using a white cane, and people come up, and they want to help, and they'll grab you and your face and yada yada. And I already can't really see anymore. And my hair, you know, I was afraid of losing my sense of taste and smell, which that can happen. Didn't want COVID, but this year it's like, I don't know. He is going to go, and I'm got a ticket from me, but I don't know if I'm going to go.
Trust your gut. Trust your gut.
Yeah,
if you don't want to go, don't go.
Yep. That I'm really kind of, it's exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I was kind of doing pros and cons of, but it's like, yeah, I will know the answer, and I'm going to pray about it and stuff. But
you don't have to go. It's not a mandatory thing. So if
it is. It's not. And you know, I'd rather they can sell my ticket. They can save money on my meals and stuff, and I can do something else. But
yes,
you know,
if that's the way you feel about it, honor that.
I will. I will. I definitely will.
All
right. Yeah. Oh, I'm feeling better, Raleigh.
Good.
God bless you and John and everybody. And it was so good to hear. I was worrying about Scotty. I'm like, I want to hear from Scotty. And you keep doo-wop alive. It's my favorite music. I love that version of Swinging on a Star.
Yeah.
I love it. Love it. Love it. I love the music. That's how I got hooked, got into your show. I started listening to, like, oh my God, these bumpers. You know, and then I started listening to you, and I'm like, this is one cool lady. So, anyway. And I got my prizes, too. I got my gifties, and thank you so much
for
me and John. Thank you.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
All right. Good deal.
Right.
Well, we'll be playing again Monday. You had another chance to win, and thanks. Appreciate it,
Stephanie. You got it, please. Thanks
all
a
right.
lot. Okay.
Good deal.
Bye.
Yeah. And again, the prizes aren't worth the postage, but a lot of people like the certificates. So we do mail out something for every win. And again, you're playing for the fun of it, and I certainly have fun. And we'll be getting to Mark next hour. Mark, I think, got 38 CDs. He won 38 times. And I would think that 37 of them are probably unlistenable, but maybe he'll like the cases. It's sort of like that, but you just never know what you'll get. But again, you're doing it to have a good time on the radio, and that's what we do. Tomorrow night, of course, it's a replay of Monday Night Trivia, so don't call tomorrow night on Friday night. Just sit back and enjoy the show, but you'll hear the straggler, and then you can be thinking about that, because on Monday, we will pick it up right there. I know we have a straggler because Carol, who does the world's best show prep, told me this. She didn't yet tell me what the straggler is, but I know she's keeping track of it, so I'll be on target by Monday. So another hour of this coming up next right here on WGN Radio.
When I became of age, my mother called me to her side. She said, son, you're growing up now. Pretty soon you'll take a bride. And then she said, just because you become a young man now, there's still some things that you don't understand now. Before you ask some girl for a hand now, keep your freedom for as long as you can now. Better shop around. Oh, shop around. Yeah, you better shop around.
Shop around.
Ah, there's some things that I want you to know now. I just as sure as the wind's gonna blow now. The women come and the women gonna go now. Before you tell them that you love them so now. My mama told me, you better shop around.
Shop around.
Yeah, you better shop around.
Shop around.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Of course, the Miracle Shop Around, 1960 on Tamla. Number one for 8 weeks on the R&B charts. Got to number two on the pop charts. And 62 years ago last week, they're on American Bandstand singing what became Motown's first million-selling record. So, yeah, seems like it was just yesterday. Okay, maybe a few years ago. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Graham is in New Jersey. What's happening, Graham?
Not too much. Did you get my emails, the one from yesterday and today?
Well, I certainly got a, was it today? I don't know. I think it's a little longer than that. December 31st, it was the dogs.
Okay, no, I sent one, something that you'll like about Prince Andrew.
Oh. Oh.
That one came in last night. I sent it on,
Okay, here we go. I found it. You're in spam. Let's see it. Safe,
sorry.
Secure, protected with minimal charges, just like Prince Andrew. That's great. Is that a real sign?
I don't know, but I just thought it was hysterical.
It is. It is. And for I'll explain it, because obviously I can't hold it up to the microphone and have a picture show up, but it's a billboard on the side of a warehouse, and it says, safe, secure, protected with minimal charges, just like Prince Andrew, Manhattan Mini Storage. And I hope it's real. It's hilarious.
Yeah. Well, apparently, the judge that he went in front of is a Clinton appointee, and he's the one that that the little crypto crook went in front of yesterday.
Well, you know, I gotta tell you that whole thing. I just don't get. I don't understand how charges can be brought decades later and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of feel sorry for old Andy there and anybody else who's in that situation.
Well, it's okay. The money that he spent, it was mummy's money anyway.
Well, yeah, and now I guess he's banished. He's not allowed to have a residence on any of the palace grounds or whatever. But again, you know...
He soiled the nest.
Yeah, right. But, you know, when you're talking, what, 30, 40, 50 years after the fact, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and I sent you another one today just before
the
show started that I think you'll get a chuckle out of.
That I did not get yet because I just did a global search for you. And
I sent it to KJ.
Well, it wouldn't matter where you sent it. It isn't
right
here.
Oh, let's see if I can find it again and resend
right
it to you.
All right, as far as today, no. I got the Andrew and then the holiday card on the 31st, and before that, I got a bunch of them on the 28th.
Okay, well, I'll resend this one to you right now. And,
you know,
let's see.
It's not an information superhighway. It is a dirt road. And I'm not 100% sure why servers do exactly what they do. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Those are just aliases. You know, they're all going to the same place.
Okay.
So
well,
that's
today,
fine.
Today I went and bought something kind of interesting. I got myself one of these Roku sticks to go on the back of my TV.
Yeah? Oh, you mean Roku.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, sure. They're wonderful. I've got several. I mean, they're not the only thing going. I've got some of the Amazon as well. But sure,
mm-hmm.
We've probably got a dozen of these.
Okay, I just picked this thing up, and that's funny. There's a commercial for it on Newsmax right now.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm playing around with because I'm thinking about kicking. Kicking what's that, Dish Network to the curb.
Well, I wouldn't blame you. I wouldn't blame you.
Yeah, they're raising my price up.
But by the way, when you call them to say you're canceling, they'll lower your price. You can get it way down.
That's what I'm going to try to do.
Yeah, and because it's funny, I canceled a bunch of those, and it wasn't a question of price. I had other reasons that I just didn't want them in the locations they were in. And the guy was so funny. I think I got him down to like $30 before I finally said, "It's not the money." And you know, of course, they send you over to retention, and I think those people are on some kind of a commission. But it was ridiculous how low they were willing to go, and I finally just shut them down entirely. And then of course, they'll, you know, well, you have to return everything in the original cartons and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so you do that.
Well, I can't do that because their guy put it in.
Right. But you can send, you'll send it back in something else. But you will send it back and make sure you include your remotes and everything else because they're looking for ways to charge you.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, if you send it, if you send it all back, there's very little they can do about it. And now, of
something's
course,
weird. This thing's not sending out. I'm wondering why.
I don't know. Well, that's probably why I didn't get it. In terms of using Roku in place of Dish, you're going to want to subscribe to a service to get a lot of things that aren't free, but the services can be very cheap. You can do them through YouTube TV or a number of different streaming services that'll give you everything, including your local channels.
Well, that's what I'm going to try to do because I'm trying to cut back on some of the expenses that we don't have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for anybody who, by the way, has lowered their prices with Dish, which you absolutely can, make sure you watch your bills closely because one day they just zoom back up. So you don't let them get away with that.
Oh, that's weird. It says cannot send the mail.
All right, well, just send it to Raleigh at Raleigh.net, as long as you know how to spell Raleigh, R-O-L-L-Y-E. Because usually...
Oh, yeah, I know how to...
Well, no, usually on yours you have E-Y.
Mm, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, if you want it to get to me, it's got to be Y-E, not E-Y.
Okay. Let me hang up the phone
right.
And try it again.
Sounds
and I'll
good.
Talk to you next week.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate
at
it.
At least I missed Wall Street's perspective.
We all did. Thanks.
Good.
All right. So 888-876-5593. That would be 8888 Raleigh. And we've got Brian and Joliet. How's it going, Brian?
Hi, Raleigh. Hope you're doing well. I'm doing all right. Thank
good.
You. And the reason I'm calling is, excuse me, I got a frog in my throat. Thank you for the prizes.
Oh, sure.
It was really nice of you, and I thought thank you for the CDs, and I especially like that whenever I hear it when I'm down, I don't know if you like it or not, but I do. It picks me up, Aquarius, Let the Sun Shine In.
All
that
right.
One always picks me up, and I thought the certificates were really funny, and especially you say it takes a modicum of bravery to call any talk show host or any talk show, and I really enjoyed that. And I don't know, it was maybe about 5 months ago, I was just looking for some life later at night on the AM dial. I came across an old soul song that I enjoyed, and I thought, what could this be, you know? And then I just paid attention. And since then, there's probably not been a night when I heard some of your show, or if not all of it. And so I appreciate you and your show. And other than that, I wanted to... I think you were you played earlier tonight. Was that Johnny Adams?
Yes, it absolutely was a losing battle.
And may I request Reconsider Me?
Yeah, that was his biggest hit. Okay.
And if you have the time, were the Dells from Harvey, Illinois?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And did they start out in the mid-50s?
Early 50s, not like 1950.
And they were still around in 1969 because I love that song, There Is.
Oh, no, they were actually active professionally from 53 to 2012.
53 to 2012, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Did you like them?
Oh, of course. I really love their early stuff. A lot of stuff that didn't get released originally, the BJ material, some of that stuff is just tremendous. And also, when they re-released Stay in My Corner, on the flip side of it is It's Not Unusual, and that's the best version of It's Not Unusual as I've ever heard.
Oh, I heard that one.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was a flip side. So,
yeah. Yeah, I played that one when I did some DJ work at college.
Yeah.
Well, and I just came across it, and I put that one on, and then they had they did a version of "Oh What a Night," didn't they, in the mid-50s?
Well, absolutely that, and then they redid it, but of course, and you know they redid it, but there's so many great. I mean, great Dells records that you don't necessarily hear. You know, now I pray, I love. I'm calling. What a great record! You know, just she's just an angel. On and on the list goes. It's just a huge list.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to go? You know, their version of "Dry Your Eyes" is nice, but it's all up to you. But yeah, I'd say Now I Pray, if I had to, Now I Pray or I'm Calling are probably my two favorites.
A lot of the songs, soul songs that I started purchasing was really not until around 1977. And then I got into some of my brother's and my older sister's soul stuff, and I said, you know, this is some great things, and so I built up my own, in retrospect, my own soul collection.
Yeah.
And I remember early January of 1981, I think it was, I came across this, he would come on at midnight Sunday mornings, I think, until about 5, Richard Pegee.
Oh, sure, of course.
Oh, he plays some great music. I just wish I remembered, you know, all of them.
Oh, yeah.
Impossible to do. But I think the last time I heard him was around the early 90s or something like that. But he did a great job.
Oh, yeah. And he was a soul jock in Chicago for years. Sadly, he's been gone since 2009. But in 68, he was music director at WVON.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah. So he did some records too. He was with a group called the Norvells, and that was like 65 or so. And yeah, but so he was entrenched in Chicago soul.
Well, I really enjoyed him, and I really enjoy you. And can I make one more request?
Sure.
If you ever, you know, have a time,
sure,
to get around to it.
Sure.
If you could play "There Is" by the Dells.
Okay, sure. Absolutely. I will do that.
But once again, I'll conclude. Thank you so much for the prizes. It really made my day.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for playing. Couldn't do it without you.
Oh, thank you, Raleigh. Take
care. All right,
care.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so yeah, the Dells. Oh, man. Yeah. Like I say, I think "Now I Pray." That's the one that does it for me.
Lord knows I tried so hard to be your companion. I failed to come up to standard. A home without you just ain't worth building at all.
The one, all right. I don't know. I'm Calling might be close. I might try playing that later. All right. So we have Mark, and he is in Downers Grove. What's happening tonight, Mark?
Well, thanks for the prizes. Now I just got to use my Orcam reader to find out what the CDs are.
Oh, yeah. Well, believe me, if you listen to them, you'll just dump them all, I'm sure. Like I say, it really isn't worth the postage it took to get them to you, but
yeah,
maybe the cases will be useful. I mean, trust me. And the certificates are nice.
Yeah, and I'll find a way to read those too, but I had a couple more things about the Skywave radio, and then a little point following up on something you said a couple nights ago. The batteries in the radio do charge faster. They used to charge from 10 to 12 hours. Now they charge from 3 to 4 hours. So it's just like charging up your cell phone and using the batteries again. And that's real nice,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that is nice.
And then the radio doesn't have any screws or a jack for the AM antenna externally. However, I figured out that you can mount Velcro on the top of the radio, and then you can use either the twin coil antenna or the loop antenna, and you can go to town with AM DXing if you just use that coupler coil.
Nice.
Really works nicely. And you were saying a couple nights ago that when the mind of a dementia patient first goes awry, it hurts to be conscious of that,
yeah.
And I was reminded of my friend Mike, whom I've known most of my life, and even as a teenager, I knew that the big thing making life hard for him was that as a mildly developmentally disabled young man, he was just smart enough to know that the rest of the world was smarter than he was.
Yep.
And boy, did that eat at him.
Oh, man. I'll bet. Yes, no, absolutely.
Oh, my heart went out to that
yes.
guy. Because he, and not only that, but he was sight impaired and crippled. So life was just one struggle after another for him.
Yeah, well, on some spiritual level, you got to believe he signed up for it.
Well, as a matter of fact, I think the last time I called him was his birthday, or no, maybe it was Christmas. But anyway, I thanked him for his friendship because I, being a very analytical person, find his simplicity very balancing and refreshing. And I don't care if psychology says that he's mentally inferior. He has enriched my life as much as anybody has.
That's great. Now, how is he now? Is he still with us?
Oh, yeah. He's a few years older than I am. I think he's 68. I'm not sure. But he's, And
good.
I'm probably going to call him for Easter. It might not be too late for New Year's. But, I just like having that guy in my life.
Excellent. Well, you've ended the half hour, and I on a happy note,
okay.
too, and I'll talk to you soon.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right, and we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and of course, that's Skeeter Davis, Gonna Get Along Without You Now. She would have turned 91 last week, born in Dry Ridge, Kentucky, died in Nashville in 2004. She was 72, had cancer. But this woman was a walking soap opera. She was kicked off the Grand Ole Opry. She was married to Ralph Emery. And by the way, kicked off the Grand Ole Opry theoretically for preaching. Yeah, she wanted to help a group of kids who were arrested for, you know, I don't know. In any event, they said, "Now you brought religion onto the opera, you're out of here." So they took her back about a year later. But she was absolutely one of the first female soloists of that era, and both Tammy Wynette and Dolly Parton cited her as an influence. And believe it or not, Lou Reed did. Yeah, for End of the World. You're exactly. But when I say walking soap opera, all the stuff that happened in Nashville, that was nothing compared to this woman's childhood. Yeah, she, when she was a toddler, her great uncle was convicted of murdering her grandfather. And after that, her mother became very depressed. And throughout Skeeter's childhood, Davis's mother made multiple suicide attempts. It was just horrible. And sometimes it was Skeeter who actually managed to prevent it from being carried out. And, yeah, things like slapping a bottle of Clorox away from her mouth when she was trying to drink it, or sitting on her hands to keep her from reaching for a butcher's knife. And, yeah, that was childhood. And then, of course, came the Davis sisters, who, they weren't sisters. It was a friend of hers, Betty Jack. And so Skeeter and Betty Jack started to really make a name for themselves on a variety of shows, you know, TV shows and stuff of the era, and radio shows. And then before anything got off the ground, Betty Jack was killed in a car wreck. And so it was just a mess. In fact, Betty Jack's mother took care of Skeeter, and this is where it really gets into the, you know, like all my children area, because apparently the deal there was the mother kind of convinced Skeeter that, you know, she needed to be cared for by her. And ultimately, the mother convinced her that she needed to start singing again with Betty Jack's younger sister. And so they went out on the road with that. And so, yeah, just a while before Skeeter said, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, indeed. And then, it was 73 on the Opry. And I think what it was kids who were arrested for evangelizing at a local mall. And so she made a comment on the Opry, and the Opry suspended her. Yeah, it was just, oh, man. All right, so 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Eduardo is in Midway. What's happening tonight, Eduardo?
Hey, Raleigh, Happy New Year. I made it to Kingston Mines on New Year's Eve.
Yeah?
And listened to some blues.
Good.
It was great. Yeah. The only thing... right towards the end, people were standing right in front, and never mind that people were sitting down, so you have to stand up
God.
To see the band.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, they had a couple bands that, Bands Kelly and Vino Loudon, I think both from Missouri, and it was a good time, a good 4 hours I was there, and it was a good time,
mm-hmm.
Good experience.
Good.
Yeah. Definitely would go back.
Good. That's excellent.
Yeah, I wanted to mention this. I know this was in the news some weeks ago, but I wanted to bring it up, see what you thought. They're going to kind of like block police.
Oh, they're going to encrypt them. They're going to encrypt them from the general public. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess one thing they think is, well, maybe the criminals will get the drop in on, you know, where the good guys are at. But I still got my Radio Shack scanner mm-hmm. all these years.
Well, that,
and I always like to
that
let my brother
work.
Know, hey, you might want to stay away from this area. But
right, and you know, if they encrypt, that won't work. You'll have to, if you want to, get a scanner that's capable of trunking, and you can get them. I mean, there's no encryption system they've got that you can't get a scanner that won't allow you to do it, if that's what your goal
okay.
is. You know, this is one of those very gray areas. It's not black and white. And, you know, because you talk about the public's right to know, but then, of course, in this digital era with people who are taking things out of context and then, you know, putting them online and having them go viral, there's all sorts of
right.
things that clearly, if you're a police officer, that, you know, you have to fight as far as, you know, perception every day. So, you know, I know that some of the news organizations have made comments and stuff, but see, I don't care what they do, it's going to be possible to get a scanner that will decrypt. So they want a fully encrypt radio scanner traffic. It's just going to make it a lot more expensive, and you have to program those little suckers. Not easy. But I don't think there is a system that can't be you know, heard. We'll say, I won't even say hacked, but heard. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, I always thought I know the news media wants to have it on there, and there's also.
Well, and they will.
People think that maybe the police are doing some wrongdoing, so they want to have evidence. Hey, you know, this
right.
Police didn't actually act appropriate, so they want to have that. And in my case, I wanted more like for safety to let,
right.
you know, let people right. know, hey, you want to stay away from this area.
Right. Right. And so, you know, I have not looked at this in several years. When I got to these radio stations, we did have a scanner that, you know, could in fact, through trunking here, encrypted stuff. But I don't know what's happened then, and I don't know how secure that is and what the rules are. So it's certainly going to be, you know, going to be a topic for discussion on both sides. And as I say, there aren't that many issues sure. where I would stand up and say this is a gray area, but this is one. I don't think it's black and white by any means on either side.
Okay.
So it's going to be very interesting to see, and I'd be curious. As I say, it's my information is years out of date. I have not bothered to check to see how good is the encryption and how can you, in fact, decrypt it. But I have to believe you can.
So, yeah, it'll be in the news, so...
well, that we'll won't, but yeah. Yeah, I doubt there will probably be much in terms of how to decipher. But we'll see. But I think this is one where both sides absolutely should weigh in. And again, not too many issues that are truly gray, but this is. So I don't know.
Okay, thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
Everyone have a good weekend.
Yeah, glad you called. Thanks.
Yep.
Yeah, so I'll have to try and see, because like I say, my information's way, way out of date. But I can, I really can see both sides of that issue all the way around. So, and there are some who have tried to make it illegal to encrypt. There are some who have tried to make it illegal to decode. You know, on and on, the list goes. And so, again, yeah, I will say, I guess I'm respectful of this issue because I don't see many where it's absolutely a gray area, but I think an argument could be successfully made on both sides of this, and I guess ultimately public sentiment is going to have a lot to do with how this comes down. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, if you want the final word, we're about to have it for this week. And I know James on the south side, of course, we have to talk to James because he gets me literally hundreds of stories. So we'll go through the panoply of those as well. But if you want in on the action, now's the time to get in on WGN Radio.
See you.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, 888-876-5593. And I mentioned before, I'd say something about Mercury retrograde. So yeah, we are in that, by the way, in Capricorn. December 29th to January 18th. And as far as I'm concerned, though, there is a shadow that is almost as important, because when Mercury turns retrograde, it goes back to a certain point in the zodiac. And what I always look at is, where did it first reach that point before it turned, it went even direct? So let's say in this case that December 29th, it went retrograde. Well, the reality is December 12th was how far back it's going to go by January 18th. And then it will again be in the shadow until February 23rd. So really, we're looking at December 12th through February 23rd for some effects, but the full effect is December 29th through January 18th. And what does it mean? Well, not much. But Mercury, it rules communication. So this is the time that you don't sign an agreement or, you know, anything like that, because there's going to be misunderstandings. Now, it's a great time to revise agreements that have already been signed, you know, go back to things that are done. But as far as initiating a new contract or whatever, don't even think about it. It affects travel. This is not a time where the planes are falling out of the sky or anything like this, but the airline may be more likely to lose your luggage. Well, just ask Southwest. So anyway, December 29th to January 18th for the firm dates, and then the shadows on either side. So 888-876-5593, 8888. Raleigh, and Sherry is in Naperville. Sherry, I almost played your fantasy request, but I will next week.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. I just wanted to let you know that we got a pizza-sized box today.
Yeah.
And I was amazed, because I thought I only won like three times. I figured it'd be in a manila envelope.
Yeah.
But at any rate, you know, earlier you were speaking about Rolling Stones magazine's top singers, right? It wasn't just for rock and roll. It was top singers.
Yeah, right. Of course. But again, it's just their opinion. It's not based on anything.
Well, not just their opinion. It's whatever age these
Well, that too. That too. And whatever their taste is, of course.
Because, you know, I told you, I know I've mentioned before, in the past year and a half, 2 years, I found the WDCB and they do the old time radio. And they'll play like the hit parade, whatever.
Sure.
But to me, there's four people, and even before I listened to them, I knew Bing Crosby, the crooner. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's in there. And then Kate Smith, and not the one from, you know, Charlie's Angels, and Johnny Mercer, and he did something for Disney. And then also, Dennis Day.
Yeah.
He had a wonderful voice.
Well, the list is totally subjective. What I find interesting is that anybody puts any credence in it. I will give the publication credit because everybody's talking about it, but to me it has no meaning whatsoever.
Yeah, and they even said, what's his name that did stuff with? I can't think of his name off the top of my head. Tony Bennett.
Uh-huh.
You know, they were surprised he wasn't on the list.
Well, as I say, it's just somebody's opinion, and somebody's opinion that I probably would disagree with on all counts.
No, I think people aren't learning anything anymore. Yeah. Aren't
well?
Whatever.
Yeah, they're entitled. They're entitled
to
it.
Cell phones.
But let me ask you.
No, it's all their cell phones, and they're stupefying us.
Well, why does anybody care?
I wanted to mention to Leah, if she's listening. You know, I told her I had to take Jack to the hospital for surgery, or whatever, not hospital. Anyway, you know, before he went, because I said to him, I told David, I said, I hope he doesn't come back as Captain Hook, because I think he waited too long for his hand for the carpal tunnel.
Oh, God, I'll bet he didn't.
No, he didn't, and he can kind of wiggle his fingers now.
Good.
But I didn't understand what carpal tunnel was. But nonetheless, point I want to make to Leia is, like a week ago, his hand started flaring up, and it looked like, what did she call that again?
Hives.
It looked like hives, but it was because his nerves were reacting, and the nurse gave him some salve or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it didn't itch, but it felt like it was on fire. So I don't know if that's any help to her,
Because I know she's always in pain because she says she takes all, I don't know what parts of her body are in pain.
Well,
but
certainly something to consider.
That.
Yeah, absolutely. Certainly something to consider. Always good to hear from you, Sherry.
Something new I learned.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk to you
all
next
right.
week.
Raleigh, okay, thanks. I love you and thank you both.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you.
All right. So, yeah, I thank everybody who called. Everybody who got a package because they won. That means they participated, and we couldn't do Monday Night Trivia without you. So, James, welcome back to WGN Radio. How's it going?
Oh, fine. I got my package. It was all, but the funny thing was, it was wrapped in two bags of plastic.
Yeah.
Along with the box was wrapped in two bags of plastic.
Really?
And the reason was, yeah, and the reason it came obvious when I looked at the box a little bit, but then that the message on each bag said, on the bag, that the plastic said, as an apology, from about sorry about the mishandling.
Did it get wet?
No, it got okay. It got the side of it like ended up where it got pretty much gouged open.
All right, did your phone? By the way, your phone is killing you tonight. I want you to know. I'm only getting some of your words, but did anything fall out of it?
No, thank goodness. Okay. And apparently the post, for weird reasons, like for about a week before, from like Wednesday before Christmas until Wednesday after Christmas, I didn't get email. And then, like, and then of course, then there was even a couple, one or two pieces that was in mine where I had to go back to post and say, this is somebody else's.
All right. Well, I want you to work on your phone over the way. That's what we got to send you for your next prize, I think. And we will reconvene next week.
Yeah, it's kind of dying.
Yeah.
You know, it's been powered up.
All right, I think. All right. Well, good to talk to you, James. Talk to you soon. All right. So, like I say, not an information superhighway. It's a dirt road. But James sends literally hundreds of links. I'm not exaggerating on that. When I say thousands, that is an exaggeration. But hundreds is not. And all of them are interesting. I was just looking at a former Apple lawyer who has filed lawsuit complaining about company culture and a colleague who sent her death threats. Yeah. You really gotta wonder, and what I mean about that is I don't doubt for a minute that some colleagues don't like other colleagues, but how on earth, would you think it was a good idea to actually email a death threat? What could possibly happen from that? And, you know, I don't understand why people don't think things through, especially in the middle of the culture we're in, for one thing. But for another thing is that things in writing, I don't care if it's email, they don't go away. Yeah, you should know that from what you hear on the news. So, again, what on earth were they thinking? Yes, and now I think I'll send her a death threat. So, yeah, you really got to wonder. All right, and we'll wonder about it probably all weekend, and who knows, maybe I'll have a related trivia question next week. I doubt it. But tomorrow night, trivia is a replay. And then on Monday night, we will be back live with trivia. And, hopefully you'll participate. So as I'm saying this, I need to look at the schedule to see what time we're going to be on the air in case there's a sports... no sports interruptions. So that means on the 9th of January, next Monday, the show will start promptly at 10 o'clock. By the way, full moon tomorrow, January 6th, at about 5 p.m. Central. It's the Wolf Moon. And good luck with that. And don't forget over the weekend to listen to Steve and Johnny, Saturday night, 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. All right. And on that note, we thank Adam for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. I thank you who called. Makes all the difference in the world to me. Until Monday, that's a wrap. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.